This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 102 in the series. This is a recording from the Finance Committee budget hearing held on Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. This is preparing for the fiscal year 2015. The fiscal calendar runs from July 1 through June, so we're in the fiscal year 2014 at this point, and the budget cycle for 2015 is just starting. This is the first of a series of meetings. Because it was held in the third floor training room in the municipal building, it was not available for broadcast by Franklin TV. So I did record, and we do have the audio available for your listening pleasure, and the details of the budget as discussed for this first session. The notes are also available, and their hard copy is available on the Franklin Matters post as well. So without any further ado, here's the budget hearing for the first session of the 2015 budget.
We get started. All right, I'd like to call to order the Finance Committee meeting of Tuesday, March 11th. Reminder that these meetings are being recorded. First order of business, I'd like to welcome our new member to our Finance Committee, Mr. George Conley. Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you can
nice
join
to
us.
Be here.
Citizens' comments? Seeing none, I'll move on. So thank you, Paul, for sending out the minutes of our January 11th, 14th
meeting.
14th, yep. So I've read them. Anyone note any errors or omissions, or does anyone have any comments on the meeting minutes? If not, I'll take a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes from January the 14th.
Second.
Motion carries. Minutes approved. Thank you. Quick budget overview?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All's well. Any questions? thank you. So in your packet, there is a budget statement, which I'm kind of going to give you a quick overview and ask feel free to ask any questions. The big scenario is the revenues are up about $2.4 million. Our expenses rise to meet those revenues. The budget's balanced without using one-time funds, although the school might make a decision to use some of their own funds, depending on their own staffing issues. But I understand that the budget that we've put forward will make do with that. They're having their own budget hearing tonight. There are some changes in this budget, but very few, and I'll run through them quickly. You'll see the town administrator budget's up. We will be taking on the responsibility of passports at the end of April because the town clerk can no longer do that by law. So there'll be a transfer of hours from her office up to my office. We do about 800 passports a year. It's going to make $25 a passport. That's 20 grand. It costs us $6,000 or $7,000 in costs. So it's good for the town and it's good for our bottom line. So you'll see the TA budget going up. The facilities budget's going up a little, but generally the only change is we're asking for an additional custodian for the new high school. The average square foot of a custodian in the elementary and middle schools is about 35,000 square feet per day. In the high school, it's 52,000, and so if we hire an additional custodian, we'll bring it down to 43. The new high school has a lot more, even though it's brand new, there's a lot more glass, there's a lot more things that are going to have to be cleaned on a regular basis, and obviously we've just invested $100 million. I want to make sure that sparkles for in perpetuity, so that's a request. If you weren't here back in 07, they laid off 8 custodians when the school controlled the facilities department. We never added one back. So it's time. You know, we've done a great job, but with this new facility, we're going 110 miles an hour every night to, or the current facility, to cover almost 1.5 times what all the other custodians at the other schools cover. So, the police were asking to add one position. We used to have 50, we get back to 45. Most of that's driven by the fact that as the staff gets more experienced, and we have well over 600 days off between vacation, holiday, sick leave. That's 3 people a day every day that don't have to come to work, and that diminishes the staffing level. So much of it is just to try to keep that. We don't fill, obviously, every one of those shifts, but trying to keep staffing levels where they are on a practical basis. The fire budget balanced, but there's no increase for wages because we're still at the collective bargaining table for a contract that will expire next June. You won't see that change very much. There are four firefighters in there that are being paid by federal funds that expire in end of October of 15. So that's something to be cognizant of next year. I want to let you know that. There is a small budget for the first year of the regional dispatch. It's really for administrative overhead. We're still a couple years away from opening the front door. But when you look at all the systems that have to be set up, accounts, and if you think of a little mini business that now has to collect money and disperse money and have a treasurer and accountant and an auditor and all those kind of things, we need some administrative overhead. The school budget's up a little over 2%, but I will tell you that we decided this year to transfer all the retiree health costs from their budget to the town budget because, A, that's a never-ending growing budget that forces the school budget to go up higher than would otherwise be. And we already have all the other retired teachers in the trust fund, and we should have really had all retired teachers in the health insurance because of the every form formula. But after discussion, we said, you know what, if we're going to take the teachers, we might as well take what's left of the secretaries and all those folks. So their budget went up, but you'll see in our health insurance budget, it went up $555,000 plus the normal increase, which we'll get to. The DPW budget is up, but the big change is $50,000 for the snow and ice budget. We had this discussion. Obviously, we're going to exceed the $900,000 in our rolling average. Even in the year we only spent $300,000, is almost $950,000. If you take that out, it's 1.1, so trying to get it up by $50,000 to kind of stay on track. Council on Aging, we're adding a few part-time hours to the outreach coordinator. That job's exploding. And we're expected to add about 2,600 seniors in the next 6 years, people at age 65. It's a baby boomer. Nobody in this group, I know. But the library, we're proposing to open on Sundays with money that's collected from the sale of books. They took on their own sale of books, so they'll be able to produce significant enough revenue to cover the cost of that service. It's been over a decade since they were open on Sundays. So those are the employee benefits are up. Guess what? Health insurance is up almost 8%. We continue to chase that. OPEB, we put a $200,000 increase. We had been told to expect an increase in our pension of 10%. It actually went down $1,000, but that's waiting on the horizon next year. We're still waiting for the property and casualty numbers, so we have estimates in those budgets, but they said they wouldn't show up until the middle of March, so we do have numbers, but I can't tell you that they're 100% accurate at this point, kind of based on phone calls, assumptions. In the property P&C, we expect a 5% increase, and then we have to add $30,000+ for the new high school, because it has a lot higher value than the existing high school. So, and again, that was a phone call from the agent. It wasn't anything. So that number is going to go up, whatever that is. And our workers' comp is going to go up. We've had two or three very bad $500,000 claims in the last few years, which just obviously ruins our experience rating. And so when we're paying in $400 and they're paying out $600 or $800, they don't seem to like that. I don't get it. But the federal government seems to be able to do that for decades. But anyway, so those numbers will hopefully harden up by the time you take any final vote on the budget. So I think that's the big, obviously OPEB's hanging out there in the long run. I will be asking the council at some point this spring for a bond authorization for the library. Some of you had a tour to do renovations in addition to the library. So that's coming forth. We'll be asking the council this spring for a $7.5 million bond authorization for water, continuation of the water improvements. So that can be done with the existing rate structure, and the library can be done with the existing debt policy. That's kind of on the capital side, but I kind of wanted to give you a heads up of, for the vote, but I suspect if we can fix water mains and nobody's water bill goes up, pretty easy thing to decide. Next year we're going to get hit in 16 with the sewer plant improvements, and we're going to have a $600,000 or $700,000 increase in our sewer budget. And I'm hoping the rates that were increased last year will be able to absorb that. But they just opened the bids a month ago. We'll get going. So that's out there as well. So the capital plan, as you know, they've had a couple of meetings. I suspect between now and the middle of April, we'll wrap that up, wait for the winter to finish up to see where we are in the snow and ice, see if we get any more storms, or I assume we'll spend a little more money, and that will give us our full cash position for use in the capital plan. We are going back to mediation, kind of arbitration with the firefighters in April, but I don't hold any hope that suddenly after 2 years it's going to get settled in a day. So that absolutely could, you'll see money in this budget in wage compensation with the hope that it gets settled sometime in fiscal 15. So you'll see no real increase in the firefighters' budget other than if someone's getting a step raise. But we had to reserve all that money in case we ultimately get to arbitration. That's 6 or 9 months. Unless they had a change of heart. But so that is, other than that, this is a very, in the big scheme of things, this is a pretty easy budget. I think next year will be a little tougher, and then 17, the hill gets steeper, at least as of today. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I will be requesting a $4 increase in the trash fee this year, next year, from 212 to 216. We do have a surplus in our trash account, but we'll need about $127,000 of surplus in order to balance the trash budget with only the $4 increase. Next year is the last year of a 5-year contract, believe it or not. I can't believe we had a total debate already 5 years ago. So a de minimis increase, and that will go up every year $4 or $8 just because of the cost of living. We have a CPI in the contract, and we'll see what the next negotiations bring. But after a dramatic reduction in trash in the first couple of years, it's kind of, and then if the economy gets better, you'll see trash tonnage go up. People start consuming more. Hopefully they'll continue to recycle more, but if you look at these term cycles of economy and trash, it's pretty consistent. We'll buy more and throw away more. So that is a very quick, I put just in the future outlook funding for the firefighters. Obviously employee benefits are going to continue to push up on OPEB. All of the collective bargaining agreements are up next June on 15. The school contracts, for the most part, end a year after that in 16. School enrollment, and we'll keep an eye on school enrollment's down over 5 years, 480 folks, but don't know if that's going to continue to decline, level off, go up. Wait to see what the high school does, wait to see what the economy does, but obviously enrollment declines, that might help us a little. I know the school's looking to add teachers in the high school. The high school will open at max capacity, at least for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. But elementary enrollment continues. It's down. That's down almost 380 in 5 years. So whether they can grab a couple of teachers and move, The good news about that is, when we got rid of 100 teachers, class sizes just exploded. And now they've been quietly been able to reduce class sizes only because there's less kids.
Yeah.
And we've had at least a stable budget in the elementary grades. The middle school's down about 100, and the high school's up 50 or 60. And with this new school, I think they're already projecting 60 and 50, maybe more, at least to open the doors. So that's all big picture stuff. If anybody has any general questions before we get into tonight's festivities. Something comes up, you certainly free. So I was going to give you a general overview of tonight, and then as the chairman wishes, we can proceed. If you look at all these budgets, obviously you'll see a big increase in employee benefits, and we'll go through that. All the rest of the budgets that you see this evening, the only real change you'll notice is that what I mentioned about the town administrator's budget and hours, but HR, staffing, finance, community control, assessors, right down the thing, there's no staffing changes one way or the other. There's pay raises for different folks. We have estimates on the insurance, but we don't have a final number. So that's kind of a general overview of tonight's activity. So do you want us to proceed?
I have a couple general questions, maybe more educational for me. One is on trash. If the recycling rate goes up, does that help to control costs, or is the percentage recycling versus non-recycling?
So we pay a lot more to get rid of trash than we do recycling. In recycling, sometimes we pay and sometimes we get money, or they reduce the bill.
Yep.
Okay, it really depends on what the recycling market is, but you know, it's $78 a ton for trash, and you know, $5 to $15 for recycling. So more recycling continues to be a good idea. For the ratepayer.
Okay.
You know, the issue is when we got the totas, we saw a huge change. It's hard to affect big ones now at this point.
Okay.
Although I see out west, they're starting to go to single stream everything. We dump everything in one container, and they bring it to a place, and they sort it all. They don't even have two totes. They have one big one.
Yep.
And everybody throws everything in it, and it gets sorted at the plant. So who knows if that will ever come, but...
Yeah,
that's
convenient.
It sounds messy.
Yeah.
Working on the rubbish floor. So yes.
Okay, that does help. Another question I have on the schools is: with the declining enrollment at the lower levels, maybe this is more of a school board question.
Yep.
But, are they targeting a certain student to teacher ratio where they want to get to that ratio before they then?
Yeah, you need to ask them because it's different for each. Elementary is different than middle is different than high school.
Okay.
They can give you all those specifics. But they, you know, the problem is every grade's a little different, so they might be 26 in one grade and 22 in another, and just because where they get bused or where they're assigned, so part of it's rebalancing. I think the school committee... speak for them, but I think in the next 2 or 3 years they're going to have to look at redistricting. Some schools are emptying out and others are filling up. And they can tell you a little more about that. I mean, they have a position on it. But if you just look at the changes over time, what schools are losing and what ones are gaining, even overall it's down. That's a difficult issue for school folks. My kid went to this school. Now they got to go to that school, and then the other kids go to this school. That cost not my decision.
Okay.
So you really need to ask them; they can give you much more detail.
Any other general questions before we go into the departments? Very good. Let's proceed into the departments, starting with employee benefits, I guess.
Sure. Thank you. I asked. You know what? The other thing Susan puts in about 300 hours to get all this done.
Yeah.
There's more to do. We thank her this evening. Stephanie and Jim as well. So as we go through some of these things, especially on the personnel side. So it looks all easy, but there's a whole lot of hours. So if we go to employee benefits, or if you want,
I only did it that way because Stephanie was here.
Right, but I mean... so if you go to G10, you can see, and so Stephanie handles, from a processing perspective, all the health insurance, obviously payroll and accounting does that, but so the retirement assessment is a direct assessment from the Norfolk County Retirement System based on our percentage of the county's pension against the whole. Said we were shocked. Susan and Jim and I went to a meeting. They said 10% increase for everybody, and ours didn't go up. So I called up and they said, "Well, generally because you either have less employees or gave a less raises than everybody else in the system. And you know, given that we've downsized, I'm not surprised that that happened. But
yeah, everyone else saw 5 to 15% increases.
Right.
Every other time.
And they said expect 10% every year for 5 years. So, you know, that's what's in my next year's projection is a 10% increase because that's what they told us. You know, they're only about 55% funded. They need to get to 100 by 2031. And the only way they're going to get there is to increase all the assessments of all the communities. And we all met, and we all, as a group, at least they asked our input. We didn't want to stretch out the funding schedule. So they're allowed to stretch it out to 2040. But we didn't think that, obviously, that costs everybody a lot more money in the long run. The original schedule was 2028. The legislature let people go longer, but we all decided there was a lot of town administrators there, selectmen, and said, no, keep the schedule. We got to suck it up. We got to get through this next 15 years because then our pension costs will drop dramatically, which will help the overhead, or who knows what the world's going to be in 15, 16 years. But our pension's going to be about 3.5% of our payroll once we pay our back pay. So it's a good deal.
There's a lot of things.
Well, at least that tunnel, the OPEB train's right behind it. Other than its assessment, there's not a lot we can do. Health insurance makes up the $2,000,004, the $555 that we took out of the school budget, and the $1,050,000, which is retiree teachers' health insurance, which is a trust that we established 5-6 years ago. This will be the 7th year. When we removed the retired teachers from the state GIC plan, put them in our own plan, in 2007 we were paying $1.5 million for retiree health insurance. And as you can see, we're projecting $1,050,000. So we've saved dramatic money every year since we made that move. And quite frankly, the retirees pay less and get a better plan. So it was a battle because no one likes change. And what are you trying to do to trick me? And now, that retired teachers is capped out. The membership was capped in June of 12. So that will, while health insurance will go up as people leave that plan to go to a better place, ultimately be fewer and fewer and fewer members until ultimately there's no members left in the trust. But we have members as young as 57 or 58 years old that left a couple years ago, and they'll be grandfathered for their lifetime unless health insurance completely implodes in America. So then we took on the teachers, and we just showed that separately, at least because it's easy for Susan to track it when you try to mix it all together. So our health insurance, after many years, took a huge leap this year of 8%. We meet on a regular basis with our advisor. We look to the marketplace. Last year we couldn't get anybody to bid because our rates were so low. Tufts wouldn't bid, Blue Cross wouldn't bid. You know, they said, can't beat that. We're not going to waste that time. This year, we have another meeting. We're going to stay the course and then bid it again next year because of the 8% increase. But it's a big issue because all health insurance is a subject of collective bargaining. So we have to get 13 unions on the bandwagon to go through this process. And I will say they've been all pretty good over the years, but I have to give them kudos. 12 out of 13 have been at the table almost every year to try and make this work. So,
How many people are covered?
2,000 people.
2,000.
About? That's it. There's 800 subscribers, but 2,000 people. A little over.
Families.
That's for everybody. That doesn't include school employees. They insure their own. Or it does include school employees, but that's not in this budget.
Not after school. Well,
no,
it's
but
not
I gave
budget,
the 2,000
is
for
everybody.
Right. So the school carries active employee health insurance in their budget, which will be. Isn't that
so this isn't the whole town?
No, that's just all non school and
retirees.
Workers' comp is a number we don't have yet. That's one I was concerned about. It's there for tonight. When we get a real rate, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Unemployment, we traditionally budget $185,000. A couple of years ago, we were burning through $300,000 or $400,000 a year. This past year, it's only 100 so far. 80 so far. And mostly, the school lays off people every year. Mostly those people are people they don't want to renew. So they're new teachers, generally speaking, and they don't want to keep them on after their second or third year. So that happens frequently. Or, you know, there's a change of staffing and they can't use the extra XYZ teacher and that person. So they generally have, you know, 5 to 10 people. Even in a regular economy when no one's losing their job, they have we pay unemployment for the school. We will, and this year we've had a very small amount on the municipal side, although we anticipate someone coming on shortly. But we're in good shape. The money that doesn't get expended goes into a trust account, so that if we have a good next year, we can potentially loan this the following year.
So, for example, in 2013, yeah, that was the case?
That was a big
yes.
drop.
Yes.
Okay. In 13.
In fiscal 13, we only expended 79.
Like 100,000, yeah.
So that means the difference we moved over
and then,
to the
right.
trust.
Right, and we moved the net over the trust. So, Medicare tax is a simple function of payroll. We pay 1.545% anybody employed after 1986. We do have a few people employed prior to that.
And
they'll be leaving.
Karen's one of them.
Karen, but we have a handful of employees that still don't pay Medicare, which means they're not eligible for Medicare, which means we have to carry them on the full plan, which costs us a lot of money.
Hopefully they're married to someone
that has Social Security. So we're going to put that. But obviously it's been be 30 years pretty soon, so that's going to fade into history.
Does anybody reach that additional Medicare? There's the additional 0.029% for additional Medicare on salary.
What's the cap on that? What's the salary on that? Isn't it
these are
high?
Teachers and firefighters.
Yeah, I said we don't make that much.
Making $70,000 or $80,000. Okay. How much do you have to make that up? Maybe I'll get a job. The OPEB, the original plan was to go up $100,000 a year, but I thought that since we had the funds, why not jump it this year? Because maybe in a couple of years we can only jump at 100. So better put more in now, the earlier the better. Obviously we need $2.4 million a year to fund this. Obviously we don't have that. So that's a little above our pace, but and we'll be asking the council to add another $200,000 free cash this spring. So and if we do the same thing next year, you know, we're trying to get 6 or 7 and slowly grow that. And hope that the legislature will ultimately do something to alleviate all the cities and towns. It's going to croak us. I mean, it's not sustainable. And then the compensation reserve, you'll see, is big because ultimately the firefighters' contract will get settled. All the other contracts settle for six plus over 4 years. And then you'll have, obviously, you have to build in, the overtime rate goes up. So I'm thinking it's 7.5%, depending on ultimately what the decision is. So we plug that money in. Hopefully that will be enough. Mm-hmm. If it's too much, obviously the council has the right to reject it. So
Do you have a separate fund for compensation reserve, or this is too
small? No, we have this every year. But in a year when everybody's settled, we put in $40,000. We thought we put in 154 this year because we thought we were going to get a settlement this year. Now it's a year later, so we're going to owe even more money. So if you take $3 million, you know what the firefighters' personnel budget is, and now add another year, you got to add more money. And so the 150, unless a miracle happens, is going to get most. You know, 130 is going to get turned back or whatever. We do use some compensation reserve, mostly to fill in for employee absences or one time. So I'll give you an example. I've added some temporary staff to the purchasing director because she's just completely overwhelmed with the high school. I mean, she she was following. We have a backlog of bids because she just couldn't, we just bid $3 million worth of furniture. We have $2 million worth of technology to have. And it's not like, okay, this. We're talking about thousands of desks and chairs and tables and you name everything in that school. She's the one person that has to do it all. So sometimes we add temporary staff or someone's going to be on a long-term illness. We add, so that compensation reserve gets used for a couple different things on a normal basis, but in this basis. And then what will happen this year, once the council and sits down in an executive session and has an idea of how we want to proceed with collective bargaining, we'll stick some money in there because we won't have any collective bargaining agreements by next, we'll only get going in January, February, and the budget's due, so we'll see another year next year based on what we think we want to settle on.
Whatever we don't use goes, just goes in.
Back to free. And last year, this budget had the biggest turn back of all the budgets. And part of that was because we don't use it all. So, that's just a general overview. Happy to answer any specifics.
Any questions? So, I think we'll do like we did last year. We'll hold off to the end.
Well, I think I put on the agenda the last meeting when we're all done.
Yep.
Voted that way.
That sounds good. Yep. Okay. So, no questions, we'll move on, I guess. Human resources?
Yeah, so that's way back at the front. So the HR budget is town HR as well as all workers' comp claims, as well as all unemployment claims, as well as almost all health insurance. So even though we're the town side, they're located with the school. So we pick up a lot of the school responsibilities. We have long-term and short-term disability. So we have a full gamut of HR responsibilities, and it's done by one and a little more than a half a person. We have de minimis expense budget, and a lot of that's driven by how many people we hire. And because if we hire a firefighter, a cop, the medical is
1,500 to 2,000 for pre-employment physical.
Whereas a normal employee is $100-$150. But we did hire four firefighters this year, so we went through $6,000. Like we just got asked for a transfer. For that. So no changes in staffing or levels of service.
Quick question. The town ran its first police exam. How much did that cost?
It doesn't cost the town anything. The applicant paid the $90 registration fee. Right. Now, we will be running a promotional exam in the fall, and that's going to cost us $3,000 in the police budget.
It's in the police budget.
Right. And, we're not going to do that every year. Obviously, we have a list of 2,000 depending on what we're going to buy. So, yeah, the new folks pay their own and will pay for the current pay. And that's based also, we don't know if we're going to have 10 people or 30 people take the promotional exam. So that's in the police budget.
Any questions on that department? Moving on, town council.
The next one is a small increase because some of the councils that have new councils have asked to put a little extra money in case they want to go to a conference or seminar, and the dues go up 2.5%, 2%. So it's a de minimis increase to cover any. Just like you guys can go to a seminar, they some of the new councils have been like 10% more. So that's a huge increase, but I think we can absorb that cost.
$500, I think so. Any questions? Town administrator.
Okay, and this is where you'll see an increase in hours for clerical staff to switch it, and you'll ultimately see a reduction in. Other than that, staffing is the same, expenses, we've tried to keep down. Obviously, if we ever get in trouble on expenses, I'd ask them for a transfer. And a lot of those times is when we have to hire outside people. Like, you know, a good example is we just bought 18 acres of land, so I have to hire an appraiser. That cost a couple thousand dollars. So, you know, those things we don't plan for, you know, and actually we're looking at another piece of property. So, you know, so some of those things come up on a one-time basis. Generally, all that falls into my budget. Not a lot of changes.
I'm sorry, where was the big increase or the decrease from 13 to 14 on the expenses?
Oh, that really relates directly to my contract where I used to, my annuity was transferred, half of it was transferred from the expense budget to the salary budget by my contract.
If you look at page 83, can you see that?
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the vast majority of it. So you'll see an increase in wages and a decrease in expenses.
Yeah, the vehicle allowance, too.
And the vehicle allowance was into the salary. In my contract as we put into the salary. FinCom, we put up $500 for the same reason we increased the council.
I attended the seminar last fall. It was good.
Yeah. Informative, yeah. So if anybody wants it, I'll just put a little more money in there.
It's certainly great.
Yeah. Money well invested. The controller, pretty standard. We are anticipating a turnover in staff, which means we have a new employee that's leaving after 41 years.
It'll be 43.
And obviously, we're going to have to go to the marketplace, so... We're not sure, and it's tough to find someone obviously with their skills and abilities. So, you know, you put money in the budget, but we won't have that recruitment done until late June or July, actually, even early September. No one's irreplaceable, but it's kind of a catastrophic loss.
It is a catastrophic
historical
loss.
Knowledge when someone's been doing that for 40 years and says, oh, yeah, I remember that in 1992. We blah, blah, blah.
1972.
But, I mean, and she knows that the Munis payroll system, you know, like the back of her hand. And, you know, it is what it is. We're happy that she's leaving, but so we put some money in there in anticipation of filling that position and having some overlap. Hopefully a little. Other than that, there's no staffing changes.
You'll see a lot of that over the next few years.
Yeah, the next 5 years, you'll see a lot.
Are you recruiting for the replacement?
No, we decided today, in fact, we were going to send...
Probably wait till
May,
what, April, June, till May.
And then do posting and reach out to, you know... Because we'd like to get somebody... at least signed up because, you know, if you have a job and you have to give a month's notice in summer, you're going to want 2 weeks vacation and, you know, all those kind of things. So we're trying to be a little ahead of
this. We don't want to be without anybody.
Of course.
Let's just put it that
way.
You
want enough overlap as well.
So that's what's going on.
You have a sense of humor to that?
Yes. other than that, in this budget is the audit. Did we get a copy of the audit?
I must have emailed it to you.
We need to post it. We just got it last Wednesday, so...
I might have mailed out the draft. If not, I will make a note to get it out.
So we had a very clean audit again.
I'll email you the PDF.
Can you email it to Jenny so she can put it on the web?
Yes.
It'll be on Franklin Mattis tomorrow.
Yeah. And Steve was saying that our web page.
The different budget years are not necessarily aligned, so maybe just consolidate, put a budget, and then have the current year on the top.
Diane, we may not be coordinating things between each other.
Yeah, they're just there's some.
Right.
It looks busy, and it can be simpler. That's the basic feedback.
Maybe we may get some help from you then.
And I'm happy to provide feedback anytime.
That's helpful.
Yeah, so the assessor, the same staffing, And the expense budget went up a little in a couple areas. Office equipment, appraisals went up 1,500, and architects and engineers, other professional services, which is personal property, all the backups in them. So the first one is software. The second one is work that they hire out for the DOR, commercial, industrial. So there's a 1,500 here, 2,000 there, and then the last one is for personal property. So some for personal property, some for commercial, industrial, and the rest is software. The big changes in the budget. Overall expenses are up about a little less than 5,000. But those are just costs we have to bear. Obviously, when we invest in personal property, we usually get a 5 or 8-fold payback, an increase in revenue. So if we invest 15 or 20, we get 100,000 more taxes. So we do that every day of the week.
Yep.
So that's just about it. Too exciting there.
Okay.
Treasurer, we laying him off. He's quite an official. Same staffing, nothing dramatically changing. Budget expenses are down 500. But beyond that, any questions on operations or no real changes?
Just trying to do things more efficiently, which
online banking.
The online bill pay. We had a report today, and I think we had over the past year 14,000 payments online. Still doesn't compare to what those two lockbox account what comes in. You know, people give it to us over the counter, but it's catching on.
What percentage do you think it is?
It's probably 10 to 15.
Yeah. That's standard?
Yeah.
Early adopters.
100% of mine.
Yeah. It's
a quarter now, too, for each one.
Yeah, oh, yes, and the quarter, the 25 cents. That was
an increase.
That actually should have taken place last July 1st, but Unibank kind of dropped the ball there, and they called me in February and said, hey, we're supposed to be charging a quarter. Really?
That's nice.
They're the ones who collect that. The bank collects it. And they used to make their money on the float. Not happening now.
Yeah.
So there are no companies that will do it for free anymore. The range in its price is 25 to 50 cents per transaction.
It's cheaper than a stamp, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know that it's going to be applied right the following day to your account.
As a separate transaction as well, which is good.
Yeah.
And so we keep lead, Jim, very proactive in all those.
A lot of people use the drive-up window.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially right now with the excise tax bills are due, don't forget.
The weather.
They're due on Thursday.
Among the three kids and the elderly people.
The ones that want to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm. This time, this week, we'll do 50 to 100 people a day will use the drive-up.
Wow.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Charging quarter. It's funny, we have bulletproof glass on the drive-up window and nothing on the inside.
That's why you can't check the tax. What do you mean? You're yelling at you. We should think about that.
Yes, we should.
Shooting the tax bill or putting bulletproof glass on?
Yeah, I don't know if it would be as friendly, though.
Yeah, he can take the hit.
Yeah, the whole staff's saying, the treasurer's in there. They all have a coordinator.
Easy for them to say, right?
So it's nothing great here. Legal department, we took this in-house a decade ago from spending $300,000 to $400,000 a year. So we have someone on staff 3 days a week. And so that's the wages for the person. This is a budget that you can't measure the cost avoidance issues by ongoing free legal advice to all the elected and appointed officials, especially planning, conservation, zoning. Those are the ones that tend to get sued. Coming up and working things out with the attorney before you go down there and say something you shouldn't or take a vote that isn't contrary to law. Mark also renews every contract that goes out to the board here, which is thousands a year. Works on all our real estate transactions, so when we're doing buying real estate, we've gone through every single bylaw with the exception of a couple that he's rewritten, and the council rules uses. Kept all our bylaws up to date. We still have a couple big ones left to do. We keep them busy, but it's kind of a quiet busy. There's no big enchilada here. Obviously, if we do get sued, 99.9% of the time we're covered by insurance. And so they assign what attorney they want to assign to the case. Once in a while that happens. And then he works with the assessors and sends all appellate tax board cases at the AATB, which is in Boston, if someone appeals the assessor's decision. So I think that, and we look around it's a pretty cheap legal budget for a $100 million organization. The school does retain their own attorney for special ed, because that's a specialty. And we both retain our own collective bargaining attorneys and only use them as needed. Obviously, some years we don't need the attorney a lot. This year, we need a lot.
And we have a foreclosure attorney.
And we have a foreclosure attorney. It's a special ed. That's in his budget. So.
Okay. Now, where's the arbitration lawyer?
That's it. And it's $40,000. Yeah, that's right. But that would be our labor lawyer from the same labor lawyer that they'll be used. When we normally bargain with the unions, with a couple exceptions, we don't usually use a lawyer. We have a great working relationship. We disagree. All the unions have representatives, of the nine municipal unions, five are represented by AFSCME, so they have one person that deals with all those persons. The Teamsters has the library. And then we have two police unions, which have their own attorney, and the fire has their own attorney. Actually, the police have their own attorney, but a bargaining person. And so, unless we're in a dispute, we bargain without attorneys. Obviously, we have them review any documents before we make any final adjustments, because a may, a shall, and a will have a lot to do with what goes in a contract. But we've been very successful all over. Almost all of our collective bargaining agreements last time was the first time that we had two-tier wage and benefits. So new employees will get different, mostly in the sick time. You won't get sick leave buyback. You get, instead of 150 days, 12. You used to get 15 days a year accumulated to 150. Now you get 12 accumulated to 90. You can't buy it back. You can't trade it in. You can't swap it for vacation, which is all those new employees. Basically gave up all this time off, quite frankly, that cost us money. They all will have less wages. It might be $1 an hour, it might be $2 an hour, it depends on which contract. Except for the one we're in mediation with, they all agreed. They saw the handwriting on the wall. Our job was to maintain benefits and wages for existing employees, and, as we go forward, with 75% of our budget is wages and benefits. So, that's where we concentrated our effort, and that's what the council wanted to accomplish, be fair to the folks here. And to the credit of the school committee and the school unions, they kind of followed suit in the same direction, not necessarily in the wage issues, but they got rid of a lot of lanes. If you understand the school collective bargaining agreement, you can get a bachelor's, a bachelor's 15, a bachelor's 30, a master's 15, and they cut out all these intermediate ones for new employees, which cost a lot of money. So now you get a bachelor's, then you got to get a master's. You can't be halfway in between and get more money. And so they did that. They changed steps. New employees don't get the same sick leave benefits, etc. So we'll see what the next round. And obviously, can't balance the whole world on the back of our employees, but I think the thought was, you want a job here, this is what the wages are. You want it, fine. If you don't, go someplace else. But
are they competitive anyway?
Yes, we continue to be competitive. The issue in the long run, if other, the problem is you have wealthy communities. You know, Needham and Wellesley and those people, they you can't compete. But in our comparable communities that we look at 8 or 9 different towns, and as long as we're in the middle, we're happy. We don't want to be the employer of last resort, because there's a lot of training costs, especially in public safety. You don't want people getting trained and 3 years later, see you later.
Yeah.
And that doesn't serve anyone's interest. You know, once in a while someone leaves, but they move, or, we had 2 people 10 years ago went to Cambridge. Well, you want to work in Cambridge, you make up $1 million, we're not going to stop you. We're never going to compete with the city of Cambridge for, firefighters' contracts. So, but we don't lose, we don't have 2% turnover, I would say. I mean, can you think of... Other than normal, retirement, or someone got moved, so they had exposed. Well, Dave, our building inspector went to Needham for like a $10,000 raise. Well, I can't compete with Needham.
Mm.
And 7 staff people, and we have 2. Sometimes that happens.
We've had people moving here, too, right? Well, police and fire have brought transfers in all of these.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so funny, as much as some employees whine and complain, this is a terrible place to work. Stephanie will tell you, when we interview people for police and fire, we heard this is a great place to work. Well, we told them that. They went to talk to their fellow firefighters and police officers. So, it's the end of the world, and this is a great place to work. Oh, I love it. You got new equipment. You got a nice station, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of internal strife in some police departments, and we don't have any of that. So there's always 2 sides of the coin. But we took a transfer from Ashland. The guy's happy as a clam. We took a transfer from North Attleboro. Yeah, so, and now that the nice thing about being out of civil service, if we want to take a transfer from another town and we're hiring someone new, it's really easy. Before, you had to go through this rigmarole and get the town to agree, the employee to agree, and the civil service to agree, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. And you had to be a civil service employee to take a transfer, where you might be a police officer in Bellingham or Franklin or another town around here that doesn't have a civil service, but we couldn't transfer you in because you weren't in civil service. So, that's why the police readily agreed. And last 2 weeks ago, the council decided that was in the best interest of the fire department. That's worked very well. Anyway, the legal budget is what it is.
So one quick question on that. You said the person is 3 days a week?
Yes.
What's the split between, because they're noted as permanent, what's the split between?
By law, if you work more than 20 hours a week, you're a benefited employee. So
you just call it permanent.
We call it permanent because they benefited, versus if you work night. So you'll see a lot of clerical staff. You'll see some clerical staff, some library staff. They work 19 hours a week, and that's intentional to avoid benefits. In one way, I feel terrible because, but I have to think about the taxpayers.
Yep.
And a lot of the people are happy because some of these people are moms with little kids, and they don't want to work full-time, and other people. So, the only downside is that you get a little more turnover in the part-time help because a better job comes along with benefits, and they leave, so we try to do the best we can. So it's a balance between continuity and institutional knowledge. And as soon as you trip the 20 hours, you're eligible for $12,000 of health insurance, a pension, a lifetime health insurance benefit if you stay here 10 years, vacation, sick leave, yada, yada, yada. It's huge costs.
So that's why turnover is low.
Well, but it is, but on a part-time, is that,
But even, full-time people, you just go to another town, so it's...
So anyway, a lot of places in the private sector, they prorate the benefits based on your hours. If you work 40, you get X. If you work 35 or 30, but under the laws of the Commonwealth, it's 20, and you get health insurance, and you're eligible for a pension.
Part-time get paid? They have to pay more for their benefits.
Who?
Part-time people get paid. You have to pay more for their benefits.
That's what I said. A lot of places, they prorate the benefits, so you work more. The company picks up more of the tab if you work less. At least that's what I've seen in a lot of places.
Right.
But we don't have that luxury of... governed by statute. Although, interestingly enough, when I the pension system, because I was on the board of directors of the pension system in the last community, we voted that you had to work 30 hours to get a pension, and the town next door voted 35 hours. But the county only has 20 hours. So they could legally change that if they wanted to, but I'm not sure they're thinking, well, if I lose customers, then I don't get money to help the pension system.
Would they grandfather in everybody?
Well, no, this was only for new hires.
Okay.
They changed it. It was anybody. Right. Just like we already have, some people pay 5, 7, 8, 10, 11. So they, over the years, the state has changed the contribution rate of pensions from 5 to 11%. But that was only for people hired after a certain date. So anyway, that's the legal budget.
Appeals?
Appeals, that's 100% for advertising. We get the money back, but we have to pay the bill. So when someone wants to go to the zoning board, we have to send out legal notices, do an ad. That's the cost of it. But the application fee pays for that cost. So it's kind of a wash.
837.
$1,000.
$600.
And obviously, if they have more hearings or less hearings, then the legal costs go up or down.
For my carport.
Okay.
Central
Services.
That budget covers the copy machines that are in the building. I think there are 6 of them. That's all the maintenance contracts. This budget also pays for the permanent record storage at Iron Mountain. That covers storage and retrieval when we need documents back. And so we have to pay a fee to have them brought back to the municipal center and then back to storage. So that's part in there. The postage machine rental lease is in this budget of $2,600. Postage for the townwide, except for school departments.
Right.
All town departments come to this building to run
police,
them.
DPW.
All of them.
They'll run to Los Angeles. Central membership.
It covers the postage for all our bills also. The bills we mail out.
We mail out.
But now
bills.
That's gone down because you did the...
Pre-sale?
You know.
Well, the people that mail on the bills are getting a little bit better rate than we got. But
right.
You're talking about the e-certified mail, right?
Right. But, I mean, we used to email at 130.
No, but when you used to print the bills, did that goes over to that service now, right? Did our postage go down?
Postage went down a little bit.
Okay.
Because of this.
Okay.
But we also, just recently, with the new machine, began doing e-certified electronic return receipt, and we saved $1.35 per registered
We have to send out a lot of those.
And it's $1,500 to $2,000 a year. So we're saving some money there. We're saving quite a bit.
Then the annual report getting printed comes out of this budget, and this budget also pays for all coffee, paper, toner, staples, ink, water, whatever for the postage machine, and paper for the copy machines. So she's really kept this budget tight. I mean, this hasn't been significant increases in this budget over the years. Right.
So there's been a little variation between 2012 and 2015. Is that just...
That was postage, mostly.
Mostly postage, okay.
Well, it was 69, and then it went up to 80. Yeah. Now it's down to 70.
Okay.
So that's where 90% of the change is.
You know, it depends on its timing, too, because we send out a check to, or we do a wire, actually, to a reserve account, and then you go into the postage machine and press a couple of buttons, and it loads the machine up with postage. So, and it's usually 10,000 at a time. Well,
if you do it on June 28th or something,
exactly.
Versus June 1st,
okay. July 1st,
there could be some differences.
Right.
Iron Mountain's costs are fairly stable, or?
Yeah,
probably
I mean,
go up a little because we add more and more and more stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want to get a record out, you better be sure you want it.
Okay.
It's like $20.
Because
bucks.
No, it's more than that. It costs some money.
Yeah.
So you really need to be sure that you really want to see that document again.
But then
it's easier to file than find.
Right, but the other thing is we get to every step, depending on the document, thin out anything we don't have to keep in perpetuity. So some records have to keep 7 years, some in perpetuity, so there's a whole schedule established by the Commonwealth, and then we try to manage, okay, this year we're getting rid of these, 4,000 things, but we're adding 5,000 or whatever. So you know, we just don't want it to grow exponentially.
That's only a budget of $9,600 that she has, so it's not like it's a large ticket item.
I mean, someday, God forbid, we should have digital. Well, allowed to keep all our records on digital instead of hard copy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure Iron Mountain would lobby against that, but I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I know Jeff Roy filed legislation to eliminate the newspaper as the legal ad. We spend $25,000 to $30,000 a year on that. Who reads the legal ads in the paper? As a percentage of people in Franklin. No, but I mean, is it 20 people a day? Is it all of 33,000 people reading that? We should be able to put it on a web page, put it on the central register, put it on several. And, well, some people don't have computers. Well, they don't read the paper either, so, you know, we're always the last to catch up.
Technically, we're supposed to keep copies of checks for 7 years. They don't send copies of checks back anymore.
No, well, they don't. The
so the next would be under public safety, which is animal control.
B-56.
So we have a regional agreement with Bellingham we've had for, I don't know, 20 years. So we get 24/7 coverage for dog and animal control for $67,000. We provide, they provide the staffing, we provide the pound, we pay for all those costs. We split a vehicle, there's several vehicles, but when we buy a new one, we split the cost in the capital budget. But it's a pretty cheap deal to get 24/7 dog coverage, and cats, and deer, and coyotes, and skunks, and every noise we make. Animal. And we don't really handle a lot of those. You know, one lady the other day had a frozen deer in her backyard in a pond that was hers, and, you know.
The deer or the pond?
The deer was frozen dead in the pond.
Wait, was the deer hers or the pond?
Hers now.
They both had. You know, so we could go out, and ultimately they were able to axe out the deer, but the guy says, I can't drag a 400, because now it's waterlogged.
Yeah.
Will your husband come and help? Well, we're not helping. Well, we can't do this by ourselves. You know, it's a big giant deer in the middle of your pond. So, but anyway, so all those things happen. If we have beaver issues, we actually have to call a state licensed beaver trapper guy. We have probably 10 of those a year because they're blocking up rivers and streams. So anyway,
where is that now?
It's down next in the DPW facility. It's been there for many, many years. Someday we'll get a new one. We've had a lot of dog complaints. No.
Hot one.
But, yeah, it's right down there. And so, anyway, that doesn't do much. Parking meters, that's just for maintenance, although I will say that I'm looking into replacement of all the parking meters with the new streetscape. They'll be doing some investigation about costs and type. Probably leaning on new ones that will take a swipe card because a lot of people, believe it or not, don't carry change. But you can go load up your swipe card for $10 or $20 or $30 if you want under this system. We can't take credit cards because the price just gets astronomical. We only collect $17,000 a year and $16,000, $17,000 in meter. And the cost is way more once we go all electronic or credit card or debit card because there's a service fee involved and the meter costs a lot more money. So we're going to keep the simple meters, coins or swipe cards probably. I mean, I got to finish doing some research. The only reason we have meters is to keep the commuters from taking every last parking space. And it does help with turnover. I mean, normally in the day we don't have any parking issues, although we tend to get a lot of parking issues on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you know, with the new restaurant. And as soon as the black box opens in July or August, 250 seats.
Where is that?
Right downtown across from Friendly's at American Office Supply. No, it's a 256 black box theater.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're going to convert that metal building into a theater.
Wow.
Right behind the Uptown Pub, if you're familiar with
that. You don't know where all those people got to park.
Right down here. Shuttle.
really?
Well, there's 50 spots at the depot where we sell commuter passes. But 6 o'clock at night, there's no commuters.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I was downtown two Fridays ago. I couldn't find a parking space. I had to walk. So that was good. I was happy. You know what? That means people are buying food. That means our meals tax goes up. Okay? So busy is good. So this is just to maintain meters if they break, repair them.
One quick follow-up, and somewhat related to the meters, is the commuter parking.
Yes.
How many spaces and how much money a year do we make on them?
So we have about 70 spaces, and we sell about 79. We oversubscribe. We're like the airlines. And the reason we do that is, on any given day, people are sick, have vacation, they don't work 5 days a week, blah, 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 blah. So we've never had a problem with that. It's $2 per day.
Yeah.
But we're and so we bring in, God, I have all that information.
Yeah.
I can bring it to the next meeting. Well, I figure it's 70.
It's 200 a quarter.
No, it's six. No, it's
120.
So it's 500. So it's 500 a year times
40,000.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. 38,000 some years. But I'm looking at, for instance, right now we sell you a pass, but I'm going to ask the council, for instance, the pass only going to come 6 a.m. to noon because the last train leaves at noon. And if you're not showing up to park by then, you're probably not showing up, and so why couldn't someone else park there?
Yep.
So I'm looking at those kind of tweaks. We sell business permits. They're really ridiculous and cheap. We sell 20 of those. One person buys 15 of them. So I think we have to revisit that. And again, I don't know why we have to tie up those spaces all day long. Maybe it's, 6 to 2 or 3 and then the PM. Because by the afternoon, there's plenty of spaces downtown to park. And then it fills up at 5 o'clock again. So we're looking at tweaking that. The post office is building a parking lot behind their building, hopefully this spring. That will take all their trucks. All their employees are currently either parked. We rent them spaces in the municipal building right now, and we also rent them spaces on Edmund Street. So we rent 35 spaces, but I think that will end by June, which will free up about 15 or 16 spaces on Edmund Street that are currently dedicated, and free up all the spaces in the municipal building as the council starts to discuss the future of that facility. Because the post office is going to park all their vehicles and all their employees in that parking lot once it's constructed. So the other thing is we do pay $20,000 a year to rent parking at across from the Uptown Pub, that little parking space. And so the revenue that we collect pays for that. But at some point we need the discussions as to whether we want to continue to lease that, purchase it. It's up for renewal in 2015, so we'll have those conversations. I mean, I think we critically need parking. The question is, and we do have a revenue source. That's another reason to keep the meters, because the meters and the fines pay for the meter lady and the rental of the space. So it's kind of a zero-sum game. So I wanted to get rid of the meters, then I said, I don't have the revenue.
Anybody here get a ticket?
Yes, because we can give you one.
Cheapy took a little too long.
So the Memorial Day is $1,400 for flags. $1,200. Excuse me. And that puts flags on Veterans Day, the Boy Scouts do it. The Cultural Council uses money to give out lots of grants of 200, 500, 300. And they get money from the state, and they use it for cultural events, like concerts for Common, or support an artist or a program that might be seen as a venue for the citizens of Franklin. So, pretty much the same. That's a $3,000 budget. The debt budget is Mr. Dacey's special, and it's all his fault. This is our peak.
Next year for debt.
All of the four debt exclusions we figured out the other day, what Jim did was $339 in the average license tax plate, and Remington Jefferson comes off in a couple of years. And then in the mid-20s, Oakman and Keller Sullivan come off, and the only thing we're left after that is the high school. Mm-hmm. So pretty good bang for your buck, $339. And the rest of the debt is just general fund debt. And what I see in the future, if the council still approves, would be, well, if we have water debt, that's under the enterprise accounts, water and sewer debt, so it's not in here. But I would foresee that the debt potentially could increase if they authorize the library expenditure, but that would, by the time we went to market, it's a couple of years out, maybe 3 years out, depending on how we schedule that. But I don't know, we do have in my budget, where is the debt ratio?
That's in the historical data.
Right, so if you go back to...
I think it's the second tab.
The second tab.
And it's probably towards the back. Let me tell you what page. Page 10. So it's the last page of historical data, right before the budget statement.
Well, so this is a historical review. The policy of the council is not to exceed 3.5% of general fund revenues for general fund debt. And so this kind of gives you a, you know, if you start, you know, 3%, 2.7, 2.7, 3.4, 3.0, we're back under 3%. Mm-hmm. And then Jim, we do a look ahead for the next 5 years. I don't think it's, or actually the next 10 years, as to what happens as revenues grow and our existing debt declines, that creates a capacity by which we can then borrow more money. That capacity next year is $600,000. And then it goes up because, with the exception of the new high school, our debt is level principal declining interest. So in year one on $1 million, we'll pay $700,000, but in the 20th year, we're going to pay $300,000. So as the interest gets paid off, we have debt capacity.
Plus we have debt dropping off all the time.
Yep.
You know, little projects here and there, road projects.
Yeah, we only borrow money now for big stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't borrow for $500,000 or $1 million, So we're in good shape. I mean, obviously it's a legal obligation. We have to pay it. We will have one more borrowing for the high school when it's complete. We don't know exactly, but that's a couple of years away. But it won't be a big. I mean, that one will be a small borrowing because we obviously have to meet our legal obligation. But we already borrowed $46 million. So.
Jeff, quick question. On the budget funding sources, the total debt exclusions, looks like we're bringing in $3.964
million. Where are you?
I'm on the summary sheet.
Oh, this one.
The debt?
Yeah, for the revenue.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, okay, go ahead.
About 3.964.
Right.
Yeah, the total expenditures is 4.790. Should that not be a wash?
No, because you have $825,000 in school building assistance also. You have the $3,964,000 you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have down below, you have school building assistance under state revenue of $825,934.
You have to add those two.
So that would be a wash then?
Yeah.
Right. The $825,000 drops off in...
Next year.
Because
yeah.
The school gets paid off.
The school gets paid off next year, in 16.
You see on the debt, Chris, on that page 10, they're both listed there, 3964 and 8.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, so it ties out. Yeah.
And the last one is general insurance, but again, that's a plug number. That's a best guess. Again, we have numbers before the end of the month. So I'm hopeful with a lot of details so I have more information. But I know there'll be an increase. And then obviously, even though we tear down the old high school. Let's see, that old high school cost $9 million to build. And this one's 100, so obviously you're not sharing 100% of the building. You don't show the land, the foundation, but the contents alone is a staggering amount. If we're buying almost $6 million or $5.5 million of technology and furniture. So, and our insurance is what we generally have is maybe $75 or $200 million. So unless we get a nuclear bomb, we're in deep trouble. But I'm not worried about the insurance losses at that point. But so, I mean, even though an individual school or building might not be at 100% value, it's covered in the overall policy. So, I mean, you'd have to have a catastrophic, obviously new high school sprinkled, the chances of that, you'd have to have an earthquake for that come down and the rest of the town's gone anyway. Well, that one would probably stay because it's under the new building code. The older buildings will come down, but obviously we're not subject to...
Well, for a tornado, it's...
Right, Munson.
True.
The West. Springfield, Munson, but obviously we're not really subject to flooding, tornadoes generally. So.
Are there sprinkler and smoke alarm systems tied into police and fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It would public building.
It would have to be.
Right, we have a whole system. We spend money every year to inspect it, test it. Yeah. So fire, once in a while goes wrong, the fire department has to go down there because the line is off. So that's definitely all part of it.
Very good.
Questions?
Any questions on any of the departments?
Just a general question. I see that the salaries seem to go up by a different percent. Each department, what's the...
So everybody, under the collective bargaining agreements, everybody was entitled to 2.5% increase. Above and beyond that, individual might be eligible for a step raise. And then beyond that, individual non-union folks are hired into a range. So let's use an example. The range is 40 to 60,000. So if I hire you at $44,000 a year, you're only... And you get a regular cost of living raise from time to time based on your performance, you might get an extra $1,000 or $2,000. Otherwise, you're stuck in that range, in perpetuity. So on an individual basis, depending on the year and the employee and what's going on, they might get a 4% pay raise that year or three. So your perception is correct.
Like a combination. So who is non-union?
We have about 60. We have about 240 employees, and about obviously all part-timers are non-union except in the library. So anybody that works under 20 hours is not in a union, and all the management, the vast majority of employees in this building, all department heads are non-union.
Couple of the assistants are non-union.
Anybody that's like in my office, no one's in the union because of the confidentiality. So we have about 50 non-union employees. And so, part of that is, we try to be competitive. Obviously, to attract talent, we have to be competitive. So generally, I like to give people, if I can get them in, towards the low end and say, hey, after 6 months, if you do a good job, I'll give you $1,000. After a year, you do another job. And then after that, it really depends on. Because I'm not going to pay you money if you end up not working out. So it kind of works that way.
Now, do you find that historically when you...
And then Stephanie also does market analysis on a regular basis of what other towns are paying in similar jobs. And some jobs are very easy to compare, and some jobs are very difficult to compare. So I take these two jobs. Every town, some person, the treasurer or the controller, is the finance director, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're, whereas the police chief's a police chief's a police chief. But Stephanie, on a regular basis, both in her professional circles and by making phone calls to her colleagues, hey, give me the salary of the police chief and the fire chief for these 10 towns. So we're always looking at the market as well.
I was going to say, have you ever given a percentage raise to a union different from others? Like, do they, you say you're going to get 2.5, everybody's
in my paid. Tenure?
Yeah.
So, under the law, I have to bargain in good faith with all unions independently. Somehow, every union in my 14 years has ended up with the same raise. I don't know how that works, but... now, that doesn't mean other things aren't negotiated. Now, obviously, you know, maybe the cops get $50 more a month in night shift differential, or, but across the board raises have been very consistent. Our philosophy has been, we had 9 contracts with 9 different benefit levels. So some people got 11 holidays, some got 12, some got 12 and a half, some got 13, some got this many days, somebody got sick there. No. So our philosophy has been, and it takes time, is to slowly and surely consolidate the like benefits to be equal to what everybody gets. So the bereavement leave for you is the same as everybody else. So your sick leave is the same as everybody else. So, you know, so obviously we're never going to get to 100% because police and fire have a uniquely different schedule and yada, yada, yada. But we slowly but surely, you know, some people used to get 3 personal days. You know, everybody else got 2. Some got 4. So, you know, so we, okay, now everybody gets 2. You know, so we work on those just because from an equity perspective. And so we recently, I mean, the one union that's a little out of sort is the custodians, because we've only had 1 contract with them because they used to work for the school. So we've only begun that process of changing benefit levels. Now, new employees, it's easy because the two-tiered process is easy because everybody, it's easy to do that. And so new employees on the sick leave are all getting the same thing in all the units. It doesn't, that's an easy one. But current employees, we still have a little more tweaking to do on the benefit level.
The second part of that question is, if everybody gets 2% of 2.5, let's right. say you're bargaining,
right.
you, as a matter of equity, then give the non-union people the same cost of living.
Generally speaking. The difference in the collective bargaining agreements is they all have 5 to 7 steps. So you come in at X, and the next year you get a 4% raise, or whatever the number is in the step thing, plus the cost of living, until you max out at 4, 6, or 7 years, depending, and then you just get cost of living. Whereas the unions, non-union people don't have a step raise, they have a range, and that's solely subject to my approval as to what increase you would get. But we try to keep, from a cost of living perspective, everybody gets the same bite of the apple so far. So, even though I'm legally obligated to bargain individually. But you know what the reality is, you get 2 unions in, and they know what's coming. The council's not going to give you 3, you 2, you 1, because who's going to sign a contract if you get the best deal or the worst deal if you're first or last? Mm-hmm. So, you know, part of the discussion now is, you know, expectations of 8 collective bargaining agreements signed and the 9th one wants more than everybody else. And the council, why would we do that? Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that. I mean, they obviously, you know, because then no one ever settles.
Right.
So... I mean, I have to say the council has been very responsible over my tenure. Of, you know, 1 year we gave 0s, 1 year we deferred, 1 year, you know, we gave 6% over 4 years. Now, maybe that's good or bad, but it's less than our counterparts in our profession. I can't talk to the private sector. We compete in the public sector.
Boston Police?
Yeah, they get 6% over 5 minutes. I mean, that's just highway robbery. You can't control that either.
Very good. So, no other questions on the departments. Move on to old business. Anyone have any old business they'd like to bring? No? Under new business, so we have our next meeting Thursday, the 13th. I saw an agenda came out today. I believe for that.
I think I gave you all the agendas
that
you
wanted. Yeah. If anybody has the DPW and they want to go talk to me beforehand, that's a good budget. That's second biggest budget after the school. It's $15 million we have for water, highway, trash. It's complicated. If anybody, you know, we didn't ask the Veterans Agent to come, the health anybody wants someone to be here, just let us know.
Obviously,
DPW is coming, recreation is coming, but ones that there are no changes, and it's, you know, the veterans agent is a matter of law.
Yep.
But if anybody wants a follow up, we can always get that information as well. So make sure you pull some information. At some point, end of March or April, we'll have to talk about the capital budget.
Yep. Any other new business?
I have one quick question. If I can, I know this guy might have some very quick process questions. As you vote on these budgets, they go to the council and get approved. What's your policy during the course of the year as to require, let's say, if you get 100,000 in payroll and 5,000 expenses, all of a sudden a widget breaks that costs $1,000, but you know you can lapse them over kind of like that. You want the other direction.
So we through Susan and sign off for me, we transfer money from salary to expenses.
Within a department.
Within a department only. Unless, you know, obviously I couldn't transfer $20,000 into the legal account. Mm-hmm. So we took it out of took it out of another account. So a lot of those, you know, get adjusted at the
end of the year.
We're $320 short here and $1,650 short there, you know, and the department heads make, you know, come 1st of April, I start...
We start
banging the drum, say, anybody going to be short? Yeah,
right.
I got to know now, you know, don't show up June 30th.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be $200 short, because, you know, if something comes at the very end, it's de minimis, we don't care. But if someone's going to be, you know, if Gary gets whacked with three huge fires and our overtime goes through the roof, I need to know that.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it happens on June 28th, it is what it is.
Right.
1 year, we had 4 house fires on June 30th. Lightning strikes, 2001. Remember that well. Bang, bang, bang. So yeah, but we transfer just in between accounts, salary and expenses. And I don't know how many do we have, 10 a year, 5?
Not that many, and they're real usually not large dollar amounts.
Right. So
good. Any other new business? Take a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.